This is Pastor Dale Swartz, and I do welcome you to another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow. Voice of Tomorrow is brought to you the same time each week by Kingdom Ministries, which is dedicated to teaching and preaching the message of God's kingdom, a literal kingdom that's going to be coming in the future. A literal Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, who is coming from the throne of God in heaven. And when he returns, he will raise the dead. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a chapter that's sometimes called the resurrection chapter, written by the Apostle Paul. And I would like to have you get a Bible and a piece of paper and a pencil to write down some of the passages we give as a cross-reference, as well as some notes that you might take regarding this message. If you have comments or questions regarding the Voice of Tomorrow, I'd like to encourage you to write to me, to Pastor Dale Swartz, in care of Kingdom Ministries, Post Office Box 420, Litchfield, Minnesota 55355. And I encourage you to write to me and like to hear what you have to say. This message of the gospel of the kingdom of God is near and dear on the heart of Jesus and the early apostles. It's near and dear to me as well, and it's a message that needs to be proclaimed because you don't hear an awful lot of it in the modern church. And it's something that needs to be taught because it is what's going to happen. It is the hope for the future. When Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom, he's going to be returning in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, according to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30 and 31. And it's going to be after a time of difficulty. And Jesus is going to come. He's going to gather his elect. And as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, and you write that one down and check it back later on, that when Jesus returns, there'll be a shout, a voice of the archangel, and a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. And this is the resurrection that we're talking about. The dead in Christ will rise first. It mentions in 1 Thessalonians 4 that it's the dead in Christ. It's not all the dead. It's just those that have taken a stand and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Here in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul said that he, in verse 3, that he delivered to the Corinthians the message that he had received and the message that was in the scriptures. This is all according to the scriptures, Paul says. The scriptures, remember, were the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament as we have it today, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. So vital to the message was Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's vital to the gospel, as well as the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, he's writing this particular chapter to the church at Corinth because there were people who did not believe that resurrection actually had taken place. They did not believe Jesus was raised, and that's why he is recording this. So as proof, he goes on in this fifth verse of 1 Corinthians 15, he said that after his resurrection, he appeared to Cephas, who is another name for Peter, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. These people did not believe in resurrection, but Paul is giving a defense for why he believes it is true. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus in a vision, and it changed Paul's life. And throughout his ministry, he was teaching that Jesus was the Christ, which is, Christ is a Greek term meaning God's anointed. The counterpart for the word Christ is the word Messiah, which also means God's anointed. Christ is a title. Jesus is God's Christ, God's anointed. It's, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is a title. And Jesus died. He was buried, and on the third day, he literally rose from the dead. And after rising from the dead, according to the scriptures, and the reason he said according to the scriptures is because the Old Testament foretold this to happen. that this would take place. Psalm 22 records an individual going to rise from suffering and rising from the dead. Isaiah chapter 53 records a suffering Savior. And we find that Jesus rose again, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared unto Cephas, which is Peter, and then to the 12, and after more than 500 brethren at one time. Now notice something else that he mentions. I call this sometimes the second part of a gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ has to do with the death, burial, and resurrection, but it also has to do with the kingdom of God. And the message of the kingdom of God that Jesus preached was started at the beginning of his ministry, carrying on from John the Baptist, who said the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus preached a message of repentance to get ready, repenting meaning to change, to turn, to have people turn their lives around, to make a change, kind of a 180-degree change. Mend your ways, because the kingdom is coming. To get involved in this kingdom work. The kingdom was the message that Jesus taught, the message that Jesus preached, and his miracles of healing the sick, cleansing lepers, raising people back to life, opening the eyes of the blind, opening the ears of the deaf, and making the lame to walk is another one. And these things were samples of what will happen in the perfect age when the kingdom of God is established. There will be no death, no sorrow, no crying. There will be no lame. There will be no deaf. There will be no blindness. People will be made whole in the kingdom of God. And the message that Jesus gave through his miracles were samples of what the kingdom of God is going to be like. Then we see in Matthew chapter 16, after Peter made his great confession that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, in Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 21, Jesus then, the scripture says, began to tell his disciples about his upcoming mistreatment by the leaders of the Jewish community. The fact that he was going to go to Jerusalem, be mistreated, and he would be killed and rise the third day. It was only after Jesus had been teaching and preaching the message of the kingdom of God. This is why I sometimes look at this as the second part of the gospel, because Jesus did more than just die, be buried, and be resurrected. He did more than just 3 days' work, as someone once claimed. Death, burial, and resurrection is a vital part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Part of the gospel is his death, burial, and resurrection. The other part of the gospel is the coming kingdom of God, of which Jesus is the king. And by being that king, a literal ruler of a political entity, the people looked at him as the Messiah. When you look at the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, they were praising him as being this political leader, and they were looking for a political kingdom. Jesus never left that stance of a political kingdom being established, but he told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world, otherwise the servants would fight." But the apostles didn't understand the message, and the people definitely didn't get it. They were looking for Jesus as a political ruler, and when he came for the purpose of dying for sin, they said, "You're not the one we're looking for. We're looking for that political leader," as the Old Testament showed. And so they rejected Jesus. But this was all in God's plan. And so Jesus died for our sins, and God raised him back to life that we could have life everlasting. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That abundant life is everlasting life for the future. You don't have eternal life now. It's something that will be given to you when Jesus returns. That's the death, burial, and resurrection is the second part of this whole gospel message. The first part being the message of the kingdom of God, and the second part being the death, burial, and resurrection. And when you put it all together, you have the message that Jesus preached, the message that Philip preached, Peter preached, Paul preached. When they believe Philip preaching the message of the kingdom of God and preaching the things concerning Jesus, men and women were baptized in Acts chapter 8, verse 12. And Jesus was dead. He died. He was raised the third day, according to the scriptures. Then he appeared to Peter and to the rest of the apostles and more than 500 brethren at one time, because resurrection was now a reality. Jesus was alive. He was the first one to come back to life, to immortality. Later, Paul mentions here in 1 Corinthians, and just take a quick look at it. Farther back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we find that in verse 20, Paul says, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those that slept. Since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands the kingdom over to God, when he has abolished all rule and authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet." Jesus is coming to establish the kingdom of God, to make it a perfect place, a perfect dwelling place on this planet, on the earth. And when he's got it all established, he will then turn it over to his Father, that God may be all in all. That's the hope that's going to take place. The kingdom of God is coming, and Jesus Christ is the king of that kingdom. He is soon coming. We don't have the day. We don't have the hour. But it behooves you to have your life ready, to repent now, to get your life prepared. So when Jesus comes, you will be one of those that will hear the words by Jesus, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." May God bless you as you continue to study. We'll continue here next week. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.